Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the 2014 Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo. I'm Caitlin Sullivan, Online Content Editor for Retail Online Integration. I'm pleased to welcome you to the closing keynote session, everything you need to know about how digital is transforming your customers' experiences. In this session, being sponsored by AgileOne, a cloud-based predictive marketing platform, we will discuss all the digital trends and technologies that are changing retail in 2014. Here today to discuss how you can use digital technology to create a more personalized customer experience is Jared Schiffman, co-founder and CEO of Perch Interactive, an interactive display technologies company. Before we get started, let me review some technical pointers. First, if you have any technical issues, troubleshoot by clicking on the widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the question and answer box. You can also use the question and answer box to submit your questions to today's speaker. We'll be addressing select questions later on, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the features on this console. Check out the Tips for Attendees widget if you'd like to learn more about the console you're viewing on today. Finally, if you'd like to view this session again later, don't forget that we'll be archiving the entire show today. We'll have the on-demand environment up and running for 3 months, beginning Monday, July 21st. Watch for your email for more details. Without further ado, please let me welcome Jared Schiffman to get us started. Take it away, Jared.
Thanks so much. Well, it's a pleasure to be here today, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak. And I'd like to tell you a little bit today about what our approach is and our philosophy when it comes to bringing technology into the retail space. So what we begin with here is our mission, but really it's also our philosophy that, you know, when we began working on Perch, we approached, I think, from a somewhat non-traditional perspective. My background is actually in computer science and interaction design, and when we looked at the retail space, we were looking at it from an interaction design perspective. So the way that we look at the space, we thought about, you know, how do people interact in a store in a traditional environment, you know, technology aside. You know, someone approaches a store from the outside, they navigate the store either by the aisles or maybe they can see clear across the store. And then they tend to approach sort of one display at a time, and work their way around the store. They will pick up products along the way. They'll touch those products. They'll go through some sort of buying decision, and then ultimately check out. So you can break up the retail process into, or I should say, the shopping experience into a series of interactions along the way. And our particular focus was on touching and picking up products. We saw this as a really interesting kind of interaction because it very clearly expressed what the users or what the shopper's intent is. That when someone picks up a product or when someone touches a product, it's almost like alarm bells should be going off in the whole store that says, here is a customer who is interested in buying something. And specifically, this is the thing that they are buying. It's the thing that they touch. And there's quite a bit of retail research that says, if someone is touching a product or if someone is holding a product, they're significantly more likely to buy that product. And so this is what we call sort of harnessing the power of touch. It's utilizing this natural interaction in the retail space and then building upon that. And that really is the sort of the centerpiece of and the central point from an interaction design perspective of how we go about designing for and integrating technology into retail spaces, looking at where people are interacting with products, and then figuring out, well, if someone picks up a shoe or if someone picks up a purse, what is the media that they should be seeing at that moment? So we can talk about that for a second, that sort of media approach. And the media approach corresponds actually to the shopper approach. So you can think about, what do I see from 10 feet away or 15 feet away? This is the attract. This is, what is it that I display on the surface, whether it's a vertical surface or a table? What do I show that's going to bring someone, that's going to bring someone to this space in the first place? A lot of times that's just moving imagery or color or something that just catches your eye, that brings you to the display. The next sort of moment is sort of the call to action. How do you get someone to pick up a product? And, you know, they may do that naturally because they're interested in the product, but, oftentimes it takes a little bit of encouragement to get someone to go from that moment of interest to actually picking up a product. So there's a little bit of media and sort of a call to action that oftentimes is text, you know, built around that second piece of the experience. And then the third piece is what we call the reveal. And the reveal is, what do I see when I pick up a product or when I touch a product? And, you know, it's different from product category to product category. So if I pick up a fragrance, you know, obviously the media that's going to be associated with that fragrance is very different media than what I would see if I were picking up a camera or picking up a shoe. No matter what, it's going to be information and media that hopefully will make me buy the shoe. But in some cases, it's aspirational. Some cases, it's inspirational. Some cases, it's educational. It really varies from product to product. But at the end of the day, there is media, some kind of content that is revealed through touching or interacting with products that will hopefully, kind of push the shopper along and also help them make a decision. After that, there is secondary and tertiary media. So, after I pick it up, I've been holding it for a while. Is there additional information that I might want to know that will help me make that decision? So maybe when I pick up the shoe, the most impactful thing is to see, let's say it's an athletic shoe, the most impactful thing might be to see a picture of an NBA player, like doing a slam dunk, just after I pick it up, because that's, sort of an impactful moment. That said, there's probably more that I want to know about the shoe, like what size is it available in? What's the price? What are the specifications? What's the technology behind the shoe? All of that tends to be sort of secondary information. Even user reviews, things like, that other people online have said about the shoe, all comes into play in that buying decision. And we can bring that to the table. And this is sort of our philosophy, regardless of whether it's a vertical display or a horizontal display. It's the same sort of media approach, and it's all based on, interactions with actual products. So that's really sort of the harnessing the power of touch. In addition to that, we like to keep things fresh, meaning that, if you have the same display in store for too long, people will start to ignore it because it's been there forever. So just refreshing the content on a regular basis is very important. And even if you're not changing out the product, even if it's the same product year-round, having content that changes, every few weeks or every month is really important in keeping people's attention. And that doesn't necessarily mean building out an entirely new digital campaign. It can simply be taking one bit of your campaign and putting that at the forefront for the first 3 weeks, and then taking a different part of the campaign and forefronting that for the next few weeks. So just trying to keep it fresh from one, from one month to the next to keep people engaged. So I think that pretty succinctly describes our, a philosophy and our approach to design and integration. I can now tell you about some of the customers that we've worked with, and in particular take you through a few case studies. So hold on just one moment. So these are some of the customers that we've worked with thus far, and I wanted to show this not so much to demonstrate, that these are the customers as much as give you some sense of the breadth of different opportunities that are afforded by having different types of products. So, when the image on the right-hand side there shows an iRobot vacuum cleaner, in this case it's just one product sitting on the table and there's a lot of media all around it. The project that we did for Kiehl's had, four fragrances on the table, and they were the tester units in store. So people pick them up regardless of whether they're interested in the media or not. And when they do pick them up, they see, all kinds of media related to the specific travel destination that fragrance is associated with. That said, we're working with, Estee Lauder or like one of the other cosmetics companies. It's a very different approach. It tends to be a lot more products. There's confusion between which products are right for me You know, there may be 15 products in a line, but that doesn't mean I'm going to buy all 15 of them. How do you educate someone? How do you walk them through the process of figuring out what's right for them? And at the end of the day, not just giving them the information about what's right for them, but actually like physically highlighting which products on the table will, you know, do they need. And that's really where, you know, the strength of our platform is, in that it allows a brand or retailer to very succinctly guide someone through the set of products and arrive at the products that are most relevant to them. So I can tell you, if you have questions later, I'd be glad to talk about any of these clients, but I think you get a sense just from like having, you know, knowing what each of these brands produce, that it's very different displays, very different technologies, or in very different approaches, for each of the different product types. The thing that is, you know, united throughout all of them is that it's always about interacting with the physical product, always picking up or touching that product, and then seeing some media as a result of that. So I can talk about our first case study for the moment. This was a project for Bauble Bar, which is actually traditionally an online retailer. It's an online, very successful online jewelry store that wanted to open up a little pop-up shop in New York. So we put Perch in there. They chose 5 products to feature on the table, and those 5 products were in the top 10 products in the store, and of the 5 products, they were all within the top 30 products in store. So it really did have an effect. As you can see here on the photo on the right, even though it's cropped, that the response is very positive. So we saw lots of people touching products, lots of people picking up products, and I think that's because the products are fun and because the products are tangible. When they did pick up the product, they would see 3 different buttons, one which was showing user-generated content, meaning showing other people wearing that bracelet that you've just picked up. And then there's a lot of other content that was revealed from, you know, the specifications of the product to the material to the cost, all through a very simple interface that pops up when you pick up the product. From this example, we were able to get some sales data as well as some interaction data. And while we're not able to share the sales data in a public forum, from that sales data we were able to derive conversion data. So we have the number of Perch interactions with each product throughout the day. And then we have the number of sales, you know, per day, at least on average, for each of the items. So we can strongly correlate, you know, people picking up a product to someone purchasing the product. And actually the results are quite good. We had 61% on one product, 49% on another. And even the sort of, you know, products that didn't do as well, the 6% and 8%, that's actually still a pretty reasonably high conversion rate from someone just touching a product in store to actually buying that product. So, you know, if you'd like, I'd be glad to forward this information to you, you know, separately, but you can, you know, very clearly see the correlation between touching a product and picking it up, touching a product and purchasing it. And this is actually, you know, one of the very first times that this has been possible in store to actually look at this conversion data, because previously no one actually knew how many times a product was picked up or touched. And now we have that data, so we can tell you that. The only other thing that I want to mention here is that the number of pickups and the number of interactions is highly dependent on the media that you're showing. In this case, the media was very straightforward. It showed each product in the spotlight, but it wasn't, you know, the type of media that was sort of over the top or, you know, making exceptionally bold statements. So just by playing with media, you know, the media that shows up on the table, you can influence, you know, how many people are touching and interacting, and then therefore influence the sales of the product. The next case study was done for Honey and Sons. Honey and Sons is a reasonably well-known, you know, tea company and tea manufacturer. They produce iced teas as well, and they produce just a lot of regular tea. And they have a little flagship store in Soho. And we worked with them to install a Perch unit in their store that highlighted 5 teas in this lineup of 10 teas. From this experiment, we were able to see the data beforehand, how many times a product was being sold per day, and then the data after Perch and looking at that sales data as well. And we saw a pretty significant jump. We saw a 13% jump in sales for products that were placed on Perch, as compared to a 5% jump in sales across the whole store for products that were not on Perch. So this is, you know, it's almost a 10% increase just by putting the products on the display. One interesting thing that is not so visible here is that the products that were up front sold much better than the products at back. Now, that may be obvious, but we were also able to tell from an interaction perspective exactly how many times the product was picked up front and how many times the product at the back was picked up, and use that data to inform, you know, future campaigns and, you know, future product placement. So that's the Honey and Sons example. And then I can take you to a third case study, which is about Kate Spade. Kate Spade is one of our most active clients at the moment. And the goal here was actually very interesting. It wasn't to describe a product or to provide the product information to a consumer. It really was about extending the social media campaigns that exist that they had been building out online. So at the beginning of this year, Kate Spade began this online program where it was like, you know, across all forms of social media where they were featuring specific travel destinations. So one month it was Rio, next month it was Monaco, the third month it was Havana, so on and so forth. And they were developing all around this and actually developing products specifically around each of those destinations. So we were able to take that social media campaign and actually bring it into the store in the immediate presence of the physical products. And that way, you know, you really increase the rate of absorption, you increase the, you know, the fact that someone might have seen this campaign online and now they're seeing it in store and it begins to resonate for them. It just solidifies the message even further. So far it's been, you know, quite successful. You know, people really they like playing with the products, and even though it's not providing product information per se, in this case, it's providing, an overall experience to get them in the right mindset to buy the product. And they've been very supportive thus far with us. So I think that gives, you know, a relatively clear sense of what Perch is about. If you still have questions, I'd recommend visiting our website, which is perchinteractive.com. We have lots of videos in the showcase, and I'd recommend checking out the videos because they really, you know, just seeing the static forms doesn't quite do it justice. But it'll give you a sense of what's possible with Perch and how we're going about thinking, or how we're thinking about, you know, integrating technology into retail environments. So, with that said, maybe we can move on to the question and answer session.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jared. That was some great information. Looking forward to using digital within brick-and-mortar retail, which leads me to my first question.
Okay.
So when going about and approaching how to approach digital into a brick-and-mortar location, what's the number one thing to keep in mind? Because there is a lot of technology going out right now. So for someone who's first starting out, what would be the very first step, and what's the top of the thing to keep in mind?
You know, I think you just sort of have to continue to think like a shopper, not think like a technologist. You know, there really is a lot of interesting technology out there, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it will engage the shopper. I think that you have to remember why someone is in the store in the first place. They're in store to touch and to pick up products, and you know, to also just to have a fun experience in the store. And I think if you look at your technology and you say, you know, is this something that people are really going to use, and that a lot of people are going to use, then go for it. If it's something that requires, you know, three steps and in the end you're only reaching 1% of the population, now you may be overwhelming that one, you know, you may be providing the world's best experience to that 1% of the population, but if they're, you know, if maybe it's on your phone or something, if it's not directly accessible or for everyone, then it ends up being sort of limiting. Likewise, the other thing that I'd recommend, I guess this is the number two thing, is, you know, it's very easy to get distracted by the scale of certain displays. And you know, big displays in store are effective, but they're effective in communicating a very, very broad message. They're not necessarily effective in communicating a specific message. So it's important to recognize that, you know, if you have a giant display in store, that's going to be telling a big picture story. If you have a smaller display that's more localized, you have the opportunity to tell a very product specific story. Oftentimes, people get, you know, I've seen iPads in stores that are, you know, telling you about the brand message as a whole when that's a very high level message, and yet it's presented in this way like it doesn't mean anything because it's on a very small display. But, you know, a very small display may be great for, you know, an individual product.
That's interesting what you just said about the small versus larger display. That's a really interesting way to look at that. Mm-hmm. Moving forward.
Yep.
So my next question, again, with a vast majority, or there's a vast amount of options of social media. There's Instagram, Pinterest, mm-hmm. Facebook, Twitter. You can go on and on. So
sure.
It can get overwhelming at times. How can social media help retailers improve their digital efforts and customer engagement without bombarding their customer?
I think, you know, there's a couple ways to do that. I mean, first of all, most social media comes in through your phone, and, you know, that's consumer-driven. So it's hard to overwhelm them because it's really up to them. I mean, it's almost like the TV. You don't watch 20 TV channels or 100 TV channels at one time. You watch one of them, and you watch it when you want to watch it. So, you know, I think the key thing with social media is just making yourself available, you know, just making sure that there's media out there and that it's fresh and that you're connecting with your audience in a valid way. In terms of what's happening in-store, you know, I've seen a lot of sort of just Twitter feeds on screens or, you know, Instagram feeds on screens. And I think that can be valuable if there's a greater context. So, you know, I know Nordstrom is doing something now where they show, you know, these are the top 10 shoes that are sort of trending on Instagram. And it tends to be that those actually are the popular shoes. And moreover, it's, you know, it's kind of calling back to people to think, you know, I wasn't even checking out Nordstrom's Instagram feed. Now that there are these 10 shoes and they're really great, maybe I should go do that. That can even be done in print. Doesn't need to be done, you know, totally digitally. So, I think there are opportunities to introduce social media in store. I think there should be an expectation that people, you know, will take it with a grain of salt, and some people may be very affected by it, but a lot of people won't. And that you can't expect people to, this is the last thing, a lot of people want everyone tweeting from their store, which would be great if you can, you know, get that to happen, but it really requires a massive spectacle to do so. Most people are only, even just in their regular lives, are only tweeting, you know, or doing an Instagram, photo once, you know, every hour, unless you're, you know, in high school. And once an hour is still a lot. So it's not necessarily, I think it's an unnatural expectation to assume that someone's going to go into a store and suddenly just start tweeting left and right on their own about how great the store is. You really have to do a lot to get that to happen.
Great. Okay. Moving forward, and
yep.
So I can't believe it. It's already the middle of July, and we're talking about the holiday season because
mm-hmm.
It comes up so fast.
Right.
So what digital trends do you see being the most popular during the 2014 holiday season, and how can retailers start preparing now?
Sure. Well, I think there's a couple of things. I think that you're beginning to see the use of iBeacon or Bluetooth LE. I think you're going to be seeing a lot of it, but in very experimental ways. I think that technology has an enormous amount of potential, but no one's really cracked the egg yet on, you know, how do I use this technology and what's the sort of killer app for this. There's sort of this vague assumption that, like, a person approaches a display, they bring out their phone via the, Bluetooth LE or iBeacon. Suddenly they're getting all this information on their phone via this display. You know, that actually requires a lot of steps. It requires someone to have downloaded the app. It requires someone to be logged in and actually looking at it. So I think you're going to see a lot of experimentation in that space. I don't know for sure if, you know, what's going to sort of pan out from it. I think you're also going to be seeing, more displays where the media is just connected to the physical product, where there's a closer correlation between the physical product and the media that's being shown. And I think you're going to see simpler displays that I think people are finally recognizing that even though you can put, 20 gigabytes of content on an iPad, it doesn't mean you should do so, and that you're better off just sort of sprinkling things around and keeping it sort of light on the surface rather than assuming that someone's going to spend 20 minutes browsing through 150 shoes in your store on an iPad when they can just do the same thing in the store itself.
Okay, great. And moving, just mentioning with that and talking about that a little bit further, how can retailers really start to prepare right now, even though it's only July, and I guess in the upcoming months for the influx of digital that'll be happening in holiday 2014?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, I think it's important to be prepared just from an infrastructure perspective, you know, I mean, 3 years ago, it was very hard to even just get a power outlet in store that wasn't like the power outlet that was used by the vacuum cleaners. Like, we had connected to, you know, overhead lighting and all kinds of weird forms of electricity. I think what you're seeing now is you need to, like, lay the groundwork so that you can at very least plug the thing in, that nothing runs on batteries for very long, and making sure that infrastructure is in place. The other bit of infrastructure that's very important is vendor-level Wi-Fi. So almost all stores have a private Wi-Fi network, and that Wi-Fi network oftentimes, you know, there's sensitive data going across it, credit cards, whatnot. So you're not able to get, you know, that's not that useful for the, you know, vendors within the retail environment. But what you're now seeing, I would say probably 20-25% of the stores that we talk to are just now beginning to implement vendor-level Wi-Fi, because they see it as, it's like a necessary, it's a resource that a lot of vendors need, and it provides, you know, it's something that can be shared, you know, across many different technologies. So it's not that expensive in the end. The other thing is, you don't want to make the mistake of trying to put all of the, you know, all of the technology on the same Wi-Fi network as your guest network for your shoppers, because it's very different content needs, very different usage rates. So, you know, just be aware before you suddenly give your customer's Wi-Fi away to your vendor or vice versa.
Okay. And this is a good one. How can retailers use digital technology without becoming too connected? Because you can overload on digital in store.
Yeah, absolutely. Is the question more about how do the retailers not become too connected, or how do the shoppers not become too connected?
Let's discuss both. The retailers first. How can the retailers have a happy medium between digital and really connecting with the consumer in store?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just sort of requires looking at the experiences that you're thinking of creating with technology and evaluating them as best you can to see if they're worthwhile or not. I mean, it's easy to drop a screen into a store. It's easy to throw content on it. You can put screens all around your stores, and if it's just sort of generic content that's not that well thought out, it's going to negatively, you know, influence the consumer's behavior, and it's also very expensive. So just making sure that you're sort of selective about what you put in store and what purpose it really truly serves, as opposed to just putting tech in store because, you know, that's what other people are doing.
Great. And how can the shopper, I guess, part two to that question?
Yeah. I mean, I think that you know, if you have a shopper who downloads a lot of apps, they're going to be sort of switching apps left and right, maybe from your store to another person's store. There's not that much you can do to prevent that. That's sort of their behavior. But in terms of what you do in store, you know, I think you can help that person by creating displays that are engaging and are fun and that, you know, are on brand, but that are not, you know, so overly designed, I think is the simplest way to say it, that they're not trying to, you know, build an entire website or build an entire iPad app around a retail display. It's a bad idea. You're better off just focusing on, you know, keeping it really simple. And I think once the brand retailer understands that sort of simpler is better, then the whole process gets shorter, it gets easier, and it allows them to experiment more as opposed to trying to settle on one design out of 20. They could change at any point in time.
Okay, awesome. And then our question right here, this, again, online retailers have recently started to move offline. I think the one I can think of most recently, in addition to Bobble Bar with the pop-up shops that you mentioned earlier, is the subscription company, or the subscription-based company, Birchbox. They also just opened up a storefront as well. How can
Warby Parker, too, actually just did that. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And how can e-tailers create a successful online experience? You just mentioned Warby Parker, and they do a great job of just really connecting with their customer.
I think, you know, and in both those cases, I mean, the first start is just to have a very well-designed store with great service. I mean, I think, and a great product. I mean, I think that's probably speaks for 90% of their success, is that they're just doing the right thing. You know, on top of that, from a technology perspective, It requires understanding, you know, again, going back to the beginning, what are the interactions that are natural in the space? And it, that should be sort of obvious. You should be able to look at your store for 10 minutes and realize, oh, this is what people are doing in store. This is the way that we're behaving. So, and it's a very different mindset. It's a very different sort of way that your brain operates from how you navigate an online store. So if you start proposing like, oh, all these features that are online should now be in the physical store, it's going to create a bad experience because people just don't operate that way. It's very different how you, the mindset that you're in when you're walking around a store and kind of navigating in general versus, you know, navigating a website online, in the way that you hunt for products. It's just very, very different. So just keeping an open mind about, you know, what the natural interactions for your product in a regular store would be as opposed to trying to replicate everything that's going on online.
Okay,
I mean,
great.
Replicate all the online stuff offline.
We actually have one more question or another question coming in right now,
sure.
And this is related to Perch.
Okay.
Using the software, how does it work with the projection of the images, and what media do you suggest using with it?
Yep, good question. So with Perch, it's actually just a plain white table surface. It can even be like white stone or you know, a light piece of wood. And we have a box that sits above the table. We project down onto the table, and then we also have a 3D sensor that tracks where your hands and the media is, where your hands are and where the products are at all times. So we know when you pick up a product or when you're touching a product. And then the question is, well, what is the reveal? What do you show when someone picks up that product? And that media, I mean, from a technical perspective, it's similar media that you'd have online. So it's, you know, JPEGs, it's MP4 video files, it's, you know, AIFF sound files, all that kind of stuff. And it gets reformatted a little bit for Perch. In terms of what media to show, that's a much broader question. And, you know, what we normally do is, I mean, more often than not, there already is some sort of media campaign in place around the product, and that's a starting point for us, is just to take that media and bring it to the Perch table. Now, there's always opportunities on top of that to, you know, make some sort of special bit of media that's specific to that product or that brand. Even little experiences, like for Kate Spade, we did something where you pick up a sandal, and when you pick up the sandal, you see basically like some sand almost in a pile, and it says, like, I think it says sweep to reveal or wipe to reveal. And when, or actually, sorry, it says dig for treasure. I forgot. It says dig for treasure, and when you move your hand around, sort of swiping around the table, the sand disappears, and you see this sort of treasure, these basically Kate Spade products underneath the sand. So that's, you know, more of like a media experience than just sort of a pure media per se. But you know, if you have the opportunity to design something like that, it can be a really fun mode of engagement for the shopper.
Absolutely. And you just mentioned Kate Spade. We have a question. Kate Spade also did shoppable windows, and that was extremely successful. I know a couple other retailers have as well. Do you think that will be a very popular trend this holiday season?
I think you're certainly going to see more of it. I mean, I think the thing about the shoppable windows is that those were actually all, they weren't Kate Spade stores. They were empty, you know, stores in New York that then they took over and essentially just used the windows for, almost like a billboard. There's pros and cons. The pros are that, you know, you're getting window traffic, you're getting all these people coming by, and it allows them to shop right then and there, and potentially exposing other people to products that they wouldn't otherwise see. The downside is, like, you're sort of blocking your window space, you're not letting people into your store, and I mean, if that was if those were real stores, you wouldn't be able to see into the store. And I wonder if, you know, in general, the reason to shop, you know, in a real store is so that you can touch and feel products. So the question becomes, like, what's the motivation to use a, you know, if you're in basically physical space, if you're in the real world, you know, can you build a display around that? Or, and also, can people make a decision just based on that sort of imagery? I think it's an interesting opportunity, and there's some really, you know, I think there's a lot of potential there, But I would caution that it affects sort of the whole store. It's not just the thing that sits on the front.
Absolutely, that's interesting. Another question, a little bit more general, is what effect do you think video will have in digital marketing within the next year? It's explosive, basically, over the retail space, and for customer engagement, it's one of the number one drivers. What are your thoughts?
You're talking about video in-store?
Yes.
Yeah. It really depends. It's like when someone asks, you know, what's the value of a billboard? It's like, well, what's on the billboard? So it really depends on what media you're showing. And I think what people are finding is that the video that you show in store is edited in a very specific way to be effective, and that it tends to be short. It tends to sort of have lots of movement. It tends to, you know, have quick cuts. It's things that allow people think of it this way. It's like, when do I engage with that medium and when do I check out? You know, when you're watching a television show, it's very clear. You start watching the television show when it begins and you stop watching normally at the end of the show unless you get really bored along the way. You know, with in-store media that's on this constant loop, you need to provide people with an easy entry so it's like, okay, I get it. There's little clips of things happening and I'm getting bits of information here and there. And then you also need to be realistic about, like, how long will they be standing there watching this, and what is their out? Is there a sort of a moment of rest? And it's important to give people, like, if you just push the loudest content at the loudest volume continuously, then it's, you know, you don't give people the opportunity to kind of onboard and offboard with the media as they're in the store.
Okay, and another question. When talking about customer experiences and integrating digital, what's important to remember as your bottom line, I guess, is your mission, statement?
Yeah, it really is. I think it's about just making sure that you're thinking of things from the shopper perspective and that whatever you're doing feels like a natural extension of shopping, not something that is tacked on and becomes a whole different experience. If it is a different experience, it has to be worthwhile and has to somehow contribute to the shopping experience.
Okay, great. Well, I just wanted to say thank you so much for taking the time today to attend and give us some great information.
Great.
On behalf of Retail Online Integration and Agile One, I want to thank you again for attending this session. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard during this presentation, we encourage you to visit the Networking Lounge to chat live with other session attendees. Please also visit the booth and fill out our show survey to let us know about your experience today. Thank you so much for attending the Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo, and have a great evening.